This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And we're back. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Scott Eckersley filling in for Cheryl today. 126,000 gallons of gas leaking out of the pipeline in Ingham County's White Oak Township. That discovery made by a local resident. The company responsible says it's not clear how long that leak was ongoing. To get more details on the spill and its impact, I'm talking to on-scene coordinator for the Environmental Protection Agency, Jeff Kimball. Welcome to the show, Jeff.
Thanks, Mike.
Now, Marathon Pipeline says the spill is contained. Over 25,000 gallons have already been cleaned up. If they're not sure how long the pipe may have been leaking, how accurate is their assessment of the amount of gas that was discharged?
The assessment of the amount of gas that was discharged at this point is just that. It's an estimate or an assessment, if you will. And it's something that I, as the federal on-scene coordinator for EPA, asked them to put a number on. And I also asked them to estimate that number on what they thought would be the high end of the scale. I didn't want them to underestimate what was in the ground and therefore not be able to prepare appropriately and bring the right resources. So again, that'll play out over the next few months as they continue to work to clean this spill up and work with MDEQ. That number may adjust either slightly up or slightly down, but that was their best faith estimate on what was actually in the ground based on the soil probings we've done so far.
Now, residents in White Oak Township met with a Marathon representative this week, and they're concerned both about their property values and the potential of their water quality being compromised even years from now. Do they have reason to be worried?
At this point, the data and the information that we are collecting does not point to a large off-site migration of the product at this point, or that it has yet impacted the bedrock aquifer, which is where most of those water wells would come from. In general sense, talking with the county health officials who have been working with us on this project, most of the wells are in the bedrock aquifer that's about 40 feet below the ground surface is where most of the people's well water comes from, starting at that depth. And the deepest we have seen the product in any of our sample probes is about 15 feet below the ground surface. And there are some additional clay layers in between that and that bedrock. So we're pretty confident that that the product right now is in the shallow groundwater, not down in the bedrock drinking water aquifer. And that's why we're pushing Marathon to get it out of the ground sooner rather than later, and that in turn can basically eliminate that threat of water contamination.
Shouldn't pipeline companies have better systems in place to identify problems like slow leaks rather than local residents stumbling onto the gas?
There are some systems in place. Trying to get back to the root cause and understand this spill is something that's going on, and based on the evidence that we have so far, it looks like the spill originated in just a fill line, which runs between a manifold and the tank itself. The tank has a gauge on it to make sure that nothing is dropping out of the tank. The delivery pipelines coming into the facility also have pressure alarms and other aspects on them. And they're doing a root cause now to determine if it was a slower leak over time to where those systems just couldn't detect it, or what that was, and there very well may be some adjustments that Marathon makes once they get through it. And, unfortunately, this is an incident that sometimes happens when we need to move product like gasoline around. Sometimes spills do happen.
We saw the Enbridge oil spill last year, and in general, it seems that pipeline spills are not uncommon. Do you find that these companies generally downplay the long-term damage these spills may have?
In answer to that, the best way I can answer that question is that from the EPA standpoint, we don't rely on the company to determine the long-term impact. That's why we get involved with the state environmental agency. In this case, we're in Michigan. That's the Department of Environmental Quality. And also, you heard me say the local, the Ingham County Health Department has been integral as well so far in this response. And that's typical of what we do. in this type of situation is, work with our local and state partners, and really it's the agencies that take that long-term look. The spiller, in this case Marathon, as the responsible party, may have some of their own ideas onto what they think the long-term impact is, but we just don't take their information and not do anything else. That's why all of our agencies are involved.
It seems like a leak into soil, as we saw here, as compared to a spill into a body of water, may ultimately be more difficult to clean up. Is that the case?
Well, each situation, Mike, is different. This situation, like I said before, we have several clay layers in this ground, and in between those, there's a layer that's predominantly sand, a little bit of gravel. And it really looks like almost all of the product at this point is trapped in between those two clay layers in that sand. The majority of this cleanup, 95% of the product, will probably be fairly easy to get. It's that last 5%, and that's the same in a surface spill like was in Marshall last year or this spill. It usually takes a lot longer to get that last 5% than it does the first big amount of product recovery. And that's something that MDEQ is going to look at over the long term and work with Marathon as Marathon develops plans to come up with that. So, again, that's something that there are going to be plans developed. There's going to be systems put in place to try and recover as close to 100% of the spill as possible.
Okay. And how would you compare the damage and potential dangers of an oil spill as compared to a gas spill?
Again, Mike, it's going to depend on the situation. Had this spill, and if it does turn out to be around the 126,000-gallon estimate that Marathon put on it, if that had all flowed directly into that drain and getting down to the creek and river, we may very well have had, other health issues to worry about. Benzene in the air, potential flash problems with that amount of gasoline floating on water. I think we've all seen around our homes or on TV, small amounts of gasoline catch fire before it burns pretty quick. So those would have been different health issues. We didn't have that in this case. And therefore, the recovery has been a little bit easier. The oil issue in the ground, if we'd had a different type of oil, a heavier oil spill into the ground like this gasoline did, it may actually be harder to recover based on the thickness and its viscosity. And, we're pretty confident this gas, they're going to be able to collect quite a bit of it, if not most of it, as long as they stay on top of it and keep responding the way they have been under the direction of the authorities.
Okay, we have about a minute left. The in terms of the local environment, do you expect it to ultimately recover, or do these types of spills, do they inevitably have effects that last for decades?
In the majority of cases, given the appropriate remediation, these type of areas can recover. If left alone, if no cleanup was done, or if a complete cleanup was not done, then you may have some long-term environmental impacts. That's not the goal here, and it's not the goal of EPA, and certainly my friends over at MDEQ don't want that to be the case either. So, they've already stepped up and are going to work with Marathon to get as complete a recovery as possible. And, we're pretty confident that a good cleanup and a healthy ecosystem can exist after this, but it's going to take a little bit of time. There's going to be some work involved.
Jeff Kimball, on-scene coordinator with the EPA. Thank you for joining me, Jeff.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
Coming up, we'll be talking about stem cell research at the University of Michigan. There are some exciting new developments. We'll talk to Dr. Eva Feldman. That's next on Fritz and Friends here on 1320 WILS.